In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, John, the first chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. Who's the we here? Saint John and the apostles, to be sure. But it also seems to include us. All of humanity is now given to see his glory. Why? Because his glory is no longer beyond our reach, beyond our comprehension, beyond us, but is found in the flesh and blood, in the body of Jesus, in Holy Communion, in his church. We are given to see his glory and receive it into ourselves. Like St. John, we are given to touch and taste and hear and smell and see the glory of God. And when that's the case, who can help but to then give witness to it? We are all then, in a little way, apostles, sent into the world to testify to what we have seen and what we have heard, the glory of God full of grace and truth. Why is it then that our testimony is hardly full of such great glory? Why does it appear that his glory has not influenced us, changed us, transformed us? You'd think that anyone encountering such a glory, such a brightness, a weightiness, a presence of the living God would be going on and on and on about it to everyone he meets. But with us, it is as though we have not seen the glory of God. For us, it seems this glory is almost something to be ashamed of, something to hide, something that is not part of our everyday life. And why is that? On the one hand, it's not entirely our fault. The glory of God that shone in Jesus Christ, it wasn't a constant halo. It wasn't as though he went about in this life always in his transfigured brightness. In fact, transfiguration means that his appearance changed. It changed from what is plain, old, and ordinary into something that is glorious and bright. And that's what our eyes want to see at all times. We want the pomp. We want the circumstance. We want the power. We want the radiance. We want the majesty. But today, we get a baby. We get a manger. We get shepherds. So too, the glory of God that St. John proclaims to have seen and heard, it was not a sort of glory that shines so brightly, is felt so pervasively and crowned ever so majestically. No, the glory that St. John saw was the presence of God hidden, veiled, in a man, an ordinary man. In the flesh of Jesus, which was encircled by a crown of thorns and hung on a cross. And if you stop and think about it, it's not really all that surprising, is it? For the Lord told sinful Moses, who desired to see his glory, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Moses was given only to see the backside of God. And you want to know something remarkably interesting, though? Luther says the backside of God is the cross. There, the glory of God, in all its splendor and majesty, is covered up by shame and by guilt. The shame and guilt of the world. That's the way of God's glory. Hidden, covered, bound, and located to an ordinary-looking man, hanging on an ordinary cross. That sort of glory cannot be seen with a naked eye. What is seen with the naked eye is sorrow, pain, suffering, abandonment, sin, death. And what is seen by the naked eye here today, at best, a joyful celebration of a child born a little over 2,000 years ago in a small city named Bethlehem. But St. John calls us into the full reality of joy. This is no ordinary child. This is actually God in the flesh. For the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John proclaims. John's testimony is that he is one of those who has seen and heard the very glory of God. And the reason he testifies to this glory is so that you, by faith, may also see his glory. If it was by the naked eye that you and I were supposed to see it, John, I suppose, might have drawn a picture rather than written a gospel. But this sort of glory isn't seen with the eyes as such, but with the eyes of the heart, the eyes of the soul, the eyes of faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This glory, a glory apprehended by hearing and believing, is not simply intellectual, it is not theoretical, and it is not abstract. It is concrete. It is right down here on earth. It is enfleshed in a body, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This eternal Word, through whom all of creation was spoken into being, who is the glory of God Himself, the face of the heavenly majesty, has taken on a body of flesh from the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that you may see and share His glory, full of grace and truth. He has joined you in the flesh, that you may join Him in your flesh in eternity. And having seen the glory of God with the eyes of faith, by hearing the testimony of St. John, we are also given to see His glory with our eyes, at least in part. For the eyes of faith help adjust the natural fallen eye, so that it no longer merely sees what is in front of it, but sees what is more, and more of how things really are, that sees the deeper reality. So by faith, we see every baby who was born in this world is not only a gift of God, but rather a fervent reminder of the Christ child, God who joined us as a baby. And every mother is a fervent reminder of Mary, a new Eve who gave birth to God in the flesh, so that the fall of our first mother would be undone. And every marriage is a fervent reminder of Jesus, the bridegroom, who loved us, his bride, unto death, so that we might be holy, pure, undefiled, and submit ourselves to him out of reverence, respect, awe, and deep love. And every church, no matter how plain and ordinary its apparel, how large its budget, or how empty its pews, every church is heaven on earth. The glory of God is now seen not only in the holy things of God, such as preaching and baptism and absolution and communion, but also, as St. Irenaeus once said, the glory of God is man fully alive forever. We encounter this glory in the face of our neighbor, whether he or she knows it or not, and as we see and behold one another face to face, we are seeing and beholding the glory of God. It's true, we struggle to remember this and only half-heartedly believe it, but that's what the Apostle John is for, to call us back, to testify again to the way things really are, hidden to be sure, but as simple, glorious, profound, and concrete as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Merry Christmas, Amen.